Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Weekend Edition. Pastor David McGee is internationally recognized for his unique conversational, verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter teaching through the Word of God. We have hundreds of his teachings through the many books of the Bible and encourage you to visit crossthebridge.com to study the scriptures along with Pastor David. But right now, open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Job and follow along for today's teaching. Pastor David has been teaching practical lessons from the life of Job. We are finding out that what needed to be learned back then still needs to be learned today. I think you'll find that to be true today and tomorrow as we take a closer look at chapter 33. Now, here's Pastor David.
Turn with me to Job chapter 33. We're getting into longer chapters, so we'll be going one chapter at a time. We went to two chapters when they were shortened for a season. I think all of us were getting a little tired of hearing these guys whine so much. And I think that's part of the intent. You know, here we've got Job that's 42 chapters. And if you were a book editor, there's a lot of stuff in the middle there where these guys are just going on and on and on. They're not really bringing anything new to the table, so to speak. But I really believe that we were intended to be kind of irritated by these guys as they went on and were slamming Job when he had already been through so much. It's interesting. You cannot read the book of Job and not be changed. You know what? Because as you read it, you're filled with this thing towards these guys who keep attacking Job. And you know what happens in your heart and your mind? You get locked in. You don't want to be those guys. You do not want to be one of Job's comforters. Amen? I don't know of any better way to bring that home than a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Job. Amen? I mean, coming back at it and coming back at it and coming back at it. You know, it's interesting as I was talking about the end times verses in that verse, Hebrews 10:25. That word, exhortation, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even more so as the day approaches. Where it says, exhorting one another, exhorting there is parakletes. Exhorting one another, parakletes one another. Now, some of you that know a little Greek or know some words, know that's used to describe the Holy Spirit sometimes. That when we fellowship, we exhort one another. We parakletes one another. We encourage one another. We play the encouraging role of the Holy Spirit to each other. But if you're not here, you don't get to experience that. And it's interesting that the verse in Hebrews, even more so as the day approaches. Looking at Job chapter 33. And now what's happened dynamically, if you go back to the end of chapter 31, Job 31, verse 40, then let the thistles grow instead of wheat, and the weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. So the three men had quit talking. Job had quit talking. And then comes this new guy, Elihu. And to kind of set the stage, it seems like these guys are talking. And in different parts of this, there's a crowd gathered. And these people are listening. Elihu, who is a young man, sits and doesn't say anything. Which the Bible seems to indicate is it can be wisdom not to say anything. But then he begins to speak. And indeed, he is a wise man. A very wise man. A man of God. Let's listen to what he says. Chapter 33 of Job. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's a great confession right there, isn't it? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. When we were traveling around the U.S. ministering to folks and music and teaching, one time we were up in Colorado, and we went up into the Rockies, and we were at like 12,000 feet elevation. Just beautiful snow-capped mountains and stuff. And I just begin to worship. Yeah, God, thank you. It's so beautiful. Thank you for making that. And then I thought, you know what? There's people that come up here that they don't have any idea how this got here. Or at least they're pretending they don't know. And many people went to that peak, I think it was Pike's Peak, and didn't give thanks. Because they're not sure God created it. You know, when you're sitting on your laptop and you're doing stuff, and you're using wireless, and there's a lot of information coming into your computer, can you see that information coming into your computer? Please say no. The answer is yes, stay after. No, you can't see it. But is it there? Yeah. How do you know? There's evidence of it. All sorts of information. Well, it just comes out of nowhere. No way. That much information. It's got to be a source, right? Or do you think just letters were floating around the sky and kind of got together and formed Sun Tzu's The Art of War? What are the odds of that? Letters just got together and did Gone with the Wind. You're saying, no. What's the point? Well, we're walking around on this earth and there is so much information. We can't duplicate the complexities of the human eye. And we hadn't even started to talk about a DNA string. And yet modern man, who says he's really intelligent, says he either came from nothing or from an ape. Or now they're saying that maybe they were seeded, but it was from an outside source, a.k.a. an alien. It's okay to be created just by an alien. Can't be created by God. I'm going to go through some interesting things here in just a moment. What's amazing about science. Verse 4, again, the